The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you and your family and whoever you saw or didn't see are doing well. This is a pew, pew, pew. Actually, you know what? We'll bust it out. We busted out for the Brady Quinn football show. We'll bust it out for the breaking news. Matt Patricia has been fired by the Detroit Lions and fired along with him Bob Quinn, the GM. Both of Patriots, Bill Belichick tree branches. And to break it down with me, the super friends, Ryan Wilson from a hotel room in Stamford, Connecticut, where he is preparing to do an arduous day's worth of work at CBS Sports HQ with some sort of paper that he's shoving into the camera. If you want to watch us, you can do so at youtube.com/pick6. And of course, John Breach, who dropped his baby in the park, hoped it just blind trust fall. Let his wife catch Annabelle, sprinted back to break it down. What's up, guys?
Oh, no, my wife wasn't there. I left the baby with a stranger. They promised to take care of the baby. So they look trustworthy. I'm going to believe them. But you know what? I'm going to let Wilson talk because he has been counting down to this emergency podcast since Monday, September 10th, 2018, when Matt Patricia lost his first game 48-17 on national television to the New York Jets.
See, I disagree. Now, I agree with you that this is Wilson's. Like I would assume Wilson, your timeline filled up with people wondering when's the emergency podcast happening? When are you going to crap on Matt Patricia? I think Wilson's been counting down to this since the day that Matt Patricia called out the reporter for looking like a slob.
Now that's it. Pick 6 podcast actually tweeted out that link on Saturday. Ooh. We should have that drop in here. So maybe you can go back and do that. I doubt you will. But if not, just go to Twitter and look for it.
Or pause for 1 second and it will happen right now.
Why do you think this move makes your franchise better?
Well, you know, do me a favor. Just kind of sit up and just, like, have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions, and you just kind of, like, you know, give me this. But, I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally, and I'll answer it for you.
Why do you feel like this makes your franchise better?
All right, well.
So, look,
That was me laughing at Matt Patricia, sorry.
People getting fired sucks. There's no two ways about it. So I'm not glad that Matt Patricia or Bob Quinn got fired. Before I go on, I will tell you who is glad. A lot of former Lions players. Because as soon as he was canned, they came out of the woodwork. Stephen Tulloch said, thank you, all caps, and did the 100 emoji a million times.
NC State linebacker Stephen Tulloch.
A'shaun Robinson said, you get what you deserve. Darius Slay, former Lion, who was to blame in part when he was traded to the Eagles for how things went down in Detroit, did the eyes emoji. A'shaun Robinson also tweeted, haha, told me, referring to presumably Matt Patricia, told me you'll take my career away from me, but I guess they have other plans for you. And Darius Slay tweeted, I was the problem, though, with a bunch of laughing emojis. Only people knew the half. Toby Johnson, I'm not sure who he is. He might be on the practice squad. I don't recognize the name. I don't know what this face is, but it's not a happy face from Travis Fulgham, who started his career in Detroit, got cut there for some reason before he went on to have a lot of success this year. Philadelphia, Ziggy Ansah, Welp. And that's just a list I found on the Pride of Detroit SB Nation website. So I'm sure there are more So, you know, as Breach pointed out, there's a lot of losing in Detroit. As Brinson pointed out, I started to be not taking Matt Patricia seriously when he dressed up like a hobo, started calling out media members for slouching their seats. And look, if you win football games, if you're Bill Belichick, you can do whatever you want. You can say on to Cincinnati every time. You can make weird faces at dumb questions. I don't care because you're winning football games. Matt Patricia did none of that. Breach, I don't know if you mentioned this on the podcast last week or just put this, sent us this, texted us this not so fun fact from Reddit that before last week's loss, before Thanksgiving Day loss, the Lions could go 6-0 and 16-0 next year and still not have a better winning percentage Matt Patricia would than my guy Jim Caldwell, who you may have heard went 9-7 back to back years and got fired. So Dan Orlovsky, who played it a good part of his career in Detroit, has been tweeting for some time that the Lions should hire Matt Caldwell. Excuse me.
Who, that's said, ridiculous.
No. He said rehire Jim Caldwell prior to Matt Patricia getting fired. His point was he played for Jim Caldwell. He liked him a lot. I think he said he was one of his favorite coaches ever. And that says a whole bunch because a lot of times we made fun of Caldwell for, okay, he fell into Peyton Manning. Okay. Anyone can coach that team to a Super Bowl. But he did have success in Detroit, and no one else in recent history has been able to say that. I think part of the issue is that Bob Quinn clearly wanted Matt Patricia over Jim Caldwell. Bob Quinn was hired first. He gave Jim Caldwell a year. That final year went 9-7. Then he said, okay, I want my guy Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia was not the answer. And you could even argue.
Here was Bob Quinn's statement real quick. Tail end of it. When he fired Jim Caldwell, he said, quote, our record was above average. We're 9-7 the last 2 years, but our record against the better teams in the league has not been that good. Unquote. And then he said, buy Jim Caldwell, I'm going to hire somebody else.
And I get the, not nepotism, but hiring your friends thing. A lot of people do it. That's not only in the NFL, but around the every job you ever go to. But you can make a very easy argument that Matt Patricia was ill-equipped for this job. He only had this opportunity because Bill Belichick decided, hey, let me promote this aerospace engineer.
You can make an easy case for it? What's that easy case? Just kidding. Look at his record. Of course he's ill-equipped for it.
Or look at the Belichick coaching tree.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Bill O'Brien had success at Penn State. He had success as a quarterback's coach in New England. He had success at Houston. His interpersonal skills weren't great, but you did not hear players coming out of the woodwork to dunk all over him except for Nuk Hopkins. Not to the extent that Matt Patricia did.
Of course not, but Bill O'Brien won division titles. But I think your point is very prescient. Like the idea, here's the problem. All of these guys who have failed that came from the Bill Belichick coaching tree immediately went to their next landing spot as head coaches and tried to implement a Belichick style disciplinary authoritarian system in which, you know, you're not bigger than the team. You know, I will tear you down. They wanted, like, you hear about this, you know, A'shaun Robinson, you're saying, like, he, you know, Matt Patricia told me take his career away from him. They used Belichickian phrases, language, approaches to, I don't want to say punt, like discipline, like practice, discipline, all of that. The problem is that works when you've got a Super Bowl or Super Bowls in the bank and you've got people buying in, or if you just have your freaking Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame quarterback with 3 rings buying in. Like, it's not going to work when you show up in Detroit and start slinging it around and going 6-10. No one is going to buy into your program. And I think that's where these guys all fall prey to being Bill Belichick disciples. They want to be Belichick 2.0. When the reality is, you're better off allowing your personality, do what your personality dictates, and then implement some of the rules that Bill Belichick does. If you're just copycatting a leader, you're not going to win.
Yeah, you can't do that. And I'll say one thing that, you know, Ryan mentioned that long list of players who are out there. As soon as Patricia loses the job, they're on Twitter just ready. They had all this ammo just stocked up, ready to go as soon as he lost his job. And that is telling because there is a reason you don't see a ton of NFL players kind of throw shade at a coach who gets fired. And that's because they could cross paths with this person down the road. You don't want to, you know, if Matt Patricia is your defensive coordinator 3 years from now, you don't want to have him be able to look back and see that, oh, you were, I'm gonna have to cut you, man, because I saw what you wrote on Twitter. These guys don't care about that because they apparently hated him so much. And so I think that's the telling thing. And obviously we've talked about the mimosas multiple times since that story came out, players getting drunk in their final meeting last season because they just didn't care. And the other thing I'll say about Matt Patricia is that, you know, most coaches, when they get hired, they have the deck stacked against them because for the most part, you're taking over a bad team because that's who fires their coaches. You know, you have the Bengals were bad, so they fired their coach. They hire someone new. There's just that's just how it is. Bad teams fire their coaches. They hire someone. That's not what Matt Patricia had. We always talk about Jim Caldwell, but the part we forget here is that he took over a team that went 9-7. There's no reason for regression. There's not a lot of improvement. You just need to win those big games, quote unquote, as Bob Quinn wanted. That's literally why he hired a new coach. Not only did Matt Patricia not win the big games, it took him two seasons to win 9 games, which is how much Jim Caldwell won in one season. So it's really crazy that he took over a team that had a solid roster that made it to the playoffs 2 years before he took over. So the talent was there, but he decided he wanted to blow it up, implement this Patriot style system that was never going to work in Detroit. It all blew up in his face. And I mean, he kind of deserves, he dug his own grave here.
So I was going to point out that the 2017 Lions, coached by Jim Caldwell, that went 9-7, finished second in the division, were crazy lucky, but they weren't. They were 8.8 expected wins and won 9 games. They may have had a bunch of one-score wins. I'm not entirely sure about that. I do think that...
But I'll say this. If Jim Caldwell was extremely lucky, then Matt Patricia is the unluckiest person on planet Earth to only eke out however many wins he managed over 2.5 seasons. So
they have a lot of really remember his it was last year they tied Arizona on a game where Stafford is throwing the ball to JD McKissick and Patricia comes in and is just, you know, jamming the timeout. I mean, that was a terrible one. I'm trying to think.
And they held the NFL record for most games with a double digit lead and then they lost.
So did Bob Quinn took over in 2016 or
2016. He had Caldwell for two full seasons, both 9-7 seasons.
So in other words, his first draft pick was Taylor Decker. Then he had A'shaun Robinson, Graham Glasgow. I'm trying to sort of segue here to the Bob Quinn part of it. Gerard Davis is a fine pick. Tease Tabor, disaster. Kenny Galladay's a great pick in the third round. We agree. That's a monster haul.
Love it.
Yeah, that's the best pick of his career by far. And then the last 2 years, TJ Hawkinson, 2019 first round pick, is a very good pick. He's great. They drafted Travis Fulgham. Whoops. Frank Ragnow in 2018. Kerryon Johnson in 2018 was a disaster. So they had to come back and draft like DeAndre Swift. Their drafts are just okay. And you can't fire a guy after he goes 9-7 and claim the reason you fired him is you need to take the next step and then take a giant step back. It doesn't
work lateral. Like that. I mean, it's not even close to lateral. It's not even a slight backslide. It's a
giant. It's like you're standing there and you fall into a giant crevasse and everything opens up and you're toast. Let's give credit to our girl Stoney, no longer in charge. But what's her last name now? Hagee?
Hemp.
Oh, I wonder if she's a hemp heiress, a tire heiress and a hemp heiress. Possible. No, it's not hemp. It's not hemp.
Sheila Ford Hemp.
It's hemp.
Thank
not,
you.
Yeah. She's not a hemp heiress, a hemp heiress. Credit to her. We talked about this after the Thanksgiving on the Thanksgiving show. Like, if you're going to fire.
We should have just pre-recorded the fire podcast then.
We really should have. If you're going to fire Matt Patricia, you have to fire Bob Quinn too. You have to let your fans know what has happened the last few years is unacceptable, that you're doing a hard reset, and that you're willing to look for a full-blown list of other candidates. Now, who might those candidates be? Great question. We'll tell you after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, so.
Hey, before you go on, let me read you Sheila Ford Hamp's comments after Perfect. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia were fired, and then you can get to, we'll talk about the candidates. Yeah. So she said, 10 days ago, we looked like we had a good chance to be playoff bound. At the time, they had 4 wins. And both of those games were extremely disappointing, the last 2 blowout losses to the Panthers and the Texans. The Panthers, they got shut out. She goes on to say, it seemed like the path going forward wasn't what we wanted it to be. She wasn't laughing. I was there. End quote. So, yeah.
That's actually not crazy. So they were. So are they 4-6 now or 4-7 now?
They're 4-7. They were 4-5 going in. I mean, you know, you have the Panthers and Texans coming up, and you're the owner. You're thinking, all right, well, there's 2 wins. We're 6-5. We're in the thick of the playoff race, and boom. And then you get embarrassed in both games.
Not just embarrassed. You get shut out in Carolina. You can't score
a single Walker.
Right, and that's the 27th ranked defense by DVOA. And then you get absolutely blasted at home on Thanksgiving with in a game that was designed so the Lions would have more publicity and be more popular nationally. And
you get blasted by a team that already fired the Bill Belichick coach and replaced him with another Bill Belichick coach in Romeo Crennel. Right.
You couldn't even get blasted by Bill O'Brien. You had to get blasted by Romeo Crennel.
The nicest man on earth.
I know. So no brainer to move on from him.
And all right, look, before you start going through the list, let me just put this out there. What chance, like, I'm trying, what's the way to phrase this? How willing would you, either of you, be to hire Josh McDaniels?
You can't do it.
I'm staying away from anything Patriots if I'm that owner. That's after, I feel like I got burnt by Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. I'm not even going to talk to anyone on the Patriots staff for this.
All right, here, I'll spice it up a little bit.
You cannot do it.
Okay, I'll spice it up. Josh McDaniels, general manager Nick Caserio, and the Patriots will give you a first-round pick, which will be 16th.
Hey, why would you need a first-round pick?
I'm just trying to spice it up. I can't think of the – like, I'm not going to give you N'Keal Harry because no one wants N'Keal Harry.
No, you can't do that. It's unacceptable. You just can't do it. Optics.
All right, instead of a first-round pick.
It doesn't matter if like, Biff Tannen descends on a DeLorean and says, if you hire this guy, you will win 10 games every year for the next 5 years. You can't do it because you are hiring another Patriot, like Bill Belichick, disciple, GM, head coach combo.
Is that better going in that direction or worse than the Texans refusing to draft Derek Carr? Because Derek Carr turned out to be pretty good. Because remember, they couldn't do it because of David Carr. Like, we can't take Derek Carr.
It's the same thing. It's a great example. It's the same thing.
But Derek Carr sort of worked out.
Yeah, of course. He's better than David.
Oof. That'll get you blocked again. That'll get you unblocked and reblocked.
My point being is that
the whole family now.
You can't do it. You got to go in a different direction. Right. I think the bigger question is, is Matthew Stafford your quarterback moving forward?
No. Matthew Stafford should say, I do not want to be your quarterback going forward.
I mean,
no, you know what? There were all the trade speculation from earlier this month. His wife, Kelly, was on Instagram kind of insinuating it wouldn't be the worst thing if they left. They were selling their house in Detroit, and there was a big mess there. I think the Staffords would prefer not to be in Detroit. I think this is a good spot for both sides to cleanly cut ties. And I think that's what you do. I think you tell, if you're the next coach, you say, I'm going to bring my own guy in. I mean, Matthew Stafford's already been there. This is, I think, his 11th or 12th season. You know, it is
2009. Because he was the same draft as Sanchez, which is insane.
I think you just talk to him at the end of the season if you're ownership and you just agree that, you know what, it's time, whether it's a trade or if the numbers work, we'll try and release you. But you go do your thing and we're going to let this new coach bring in his own quarterback.
So, the savings, if you cut him before June 1st, your dead cap hit is $24.85 million. That's a lot, but it's
In these days, it doesn't matter.
Like, well, I mean,
it does, Brown was a lot.
It does
well,
a little.
In a year where the salary cap might only be 175, yeah,
but
be a problem.
But you're also sort of acknowledging by firing your coach and GM midseason that you are not in a position to contend right now. So you don't need to try to buoy what you've got. You're saying, listen, we're going to tear it down. We could release him. The cap savings, cap hit, exact same if you trade him. So before June 1st.
Let me take two steps back real quick because
I was just going to say, if you trade him after June 1st, which is a lot more unlikely, you would save $20 million on the 2021 cap. And you would have 14.95 in dead cap in 2021. 9.9.
What's the 2022 number?
9.9.
All right, because in that case, you could say, you know what? He's our bridge quarterback, and then we'll get rid of him after 2021. You tell him that. We can cut you next season because we can afford it. If we can find a trade partner, great. But then at least the new coach would know he has a veteran quarterback, and then that gives him, you know, because the Lions might pick 10, 11, 12. They're not going to be in a great spot in the 2021 draft. So that gives you kind of 2 years to find a quarterback to replace Stafford.
They're not picking 10th, not at this rate.
I mean, if you're the Patriots, why wouldn't you give the Lions a first-round pick for Matthew Stafford?
Darren Bevel's also the interim coach. I don't know if we mentioned
that. That's a good call. Daryl Bevel, yeah.
Daryl, sorry. I just wanted to mention quickly, before I forget, I think I may have already forgotten. Oh, our buddy Michael David Smith, Pro Football Talk, who's been a longtime Lions fan, pointed this out on Twitter. Why wait a year? Why not fire these two guys last year? Because you have set yourself back. You could have had Tua. You could have had Justin Herbert. You got Jeffrey Okuda, which is great, but you still have four wins, and he's hurt.
Yeah. Well, there's no good answer to that other than Martha Firestone Ford entrusted Bob Quinn. A lot of people thought this team would be good this year. They're not.
Who?
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
They're not. By the way, this team could have won. What are they, 4-7? They could easily be 7-4 right now. Now, having said that,
in Brinson's defense, three games where they blew double digit leads.
In not my defense, that's what I get for backing Matt Patricia. So, you know, what are you going to do?
What was dumber? You backing Matt Patricia and the Lions or me predicting that the Cowboys are going to win 9 games with Andy Dalton?
Yours was dumber. There were cards on the table when you did that.
The Lions.
Mine was pre-flop.
They were ahead of the Chicago Bears 20-6 in week one. They were beating the worst offense in football 20-6 and managed to lose.
They benched their quarterback.
The season in a nutshell.
And Nick Foles came back, won the game. At least mine was like, all right, maybe this will magically turn around. Yours was, I've seen what's happening and I'm doubling down on the Cowboys and Andy Dalton.
Half dozen.
The Cowboys will be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins.
That thing's lasting forever. I think Matthew Stafford is a trade candidate. He's 33.
You know where he's going, right?
New England.
The Colts.
Oh,
that's not a bad idea. Phillip Rivers is playing pretty well, but sure.
It'd make more sense for the Colts to give up a first rounder than the Patriots.
Yeah, that's true. Patriots first round would be better than the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts, Patriots, the Steelers have been mentioned that Big Ben retires, which I don't think he will, but...
Well, yeah. All right, so if you trade for Matthew Stafford, you have 2 years left on his deal, and then you probably have to pay him again. So you need to be a team that is in good financial shape, that has a good base around him. And I don't hate the idea of giving him... If you're a good team and you can give him a first-rounder for him, you know who makes a ton of sense?
Who?
Saints.
Saints, I was going to mention the Broncos might be a good landing spot. Like Jacksonville, he'd be like, no, I'm not.
The Saints have an undefeated starting quarterback on their roster, Brinson. His name's Taysom Hill.
That's fine. I'm just saying Sean Payton and Matthew Stafford, that's cooking with gas.
What about the 49ers?
Love it. I don't know that you think about Kyle Shanahan's structure per se with Matthew Stafford, but he would
we
be
We don't know anything no, 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 about no, no, Matthew no. Stafford. No,
look, Matthew Stafford and Kyle Shanahan would be awesome.
What about the Chicago Bears?
You got to get them there.
I know they would never trade interdivision, so it'd have to be some sort of release, cut, sign, but I think he'd be interesting with the Bears.
If Matthew Stafford is released, he will find plenty of suitors. I think the Lions would be the Lions have a short window here to get a first-round pick back for him. I don't know if the 49ers would do it this year with their fourth-round pick, their first-round pick.
What about, and I'm sorry Debo isn't here, the Eagles?
Ooh.
Hey, you got to figure out Carson. You got to figure out what do you do with your future franchise quarterback, Jalen.
You have a lot of money tied up in Wentz, so now that's a lot to put in the quarterback position.
You just trade him to the Lions.
Also, then Matthew Stafford is just like throwing it further, but incomplete. Right. It's like the same throws, but incomplete.
Wentz's cap hit next year is $34.6 million. So if you have
football team,
literally,
I feel like Stafford might be like, nah.
To nah. Football team?
Ooh, football team's not crazy. Sure. So there are lots of landing spots.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at some candidates who might make sense for the Lions.
All right.
Again, we mentioned you cannot do Nick Caserio and Josh McDaniels. You can't.
Right. So we know the most popular candidate?
Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he's going to be on everyone's list. That's the obvious one because he's got to get hired. I mean, I feel like...
Are they going offense, probably? Offensive guy?
I don't see how they go defense again. Because, again, you feel like you got burnt by Patricia.
My ex-girlfriend theory. You have to go the opposite. That's why you can't date the same person the next time. After you dated this person that was such a disaster, you can't do it. You can't go back to the same well, which is why you have to do offense.
Jim Caldwell is a responsible...
Get out of town. I would say that Bieniemy makes sense.
No. Jim Caldwell is the girlfriend. Like, he's responsible.
Yeah.
Like, dresses
very
nicely.
Your parents loved her.
She never did anything. Yeah. Like, she wasn't going out taking weird selfies with half her clothes on. Yeah.
She always, like, made sure to send them, a handwritten thank you note on Christmas and their birthdays. And then Matt Patricia, like, shows up at Christmas in a like sweater with a
Bugs Bunny costume.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny costume.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Oh my God, where's the wine? And you're like, what are you doing, girl?
Matt, we're Jewish. We don't celebrate Christmas.
That's right. So yeah, I mean, I think you have to go offensive. The one guy I would throw out that might. Now the question is, do you think? We don't know what Ms. Hamp will do. I assume Mrs. Hamp because she's a Firestone. I bet this is just a guess that, and now there is one name that's kind of crazy. We'll get to that in a second. But I would guess that she goes out and hires a GM and empowers the GM. This is how it's going to play out. She's going to hire a search firm like Korn Ferry to go out and get her a GM. And then they're going to get her a GM, and then that GM's going to hire a coach. Now, we can't really predict exactly who will be, how that will play out. But I could see the Lions hiring some very conventional football name GM.
Thomas Dimitroff.
That's actually not a crazy idea at all.
I mean, he's a
I don't hate that. He's a Belichick
guy. He's been on his own for so long, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I don't think he's attached to the Belichick regime. I don't hate Thomas Dimitroff hiring him as a GM there.
I don't either. And what are the other options? I mean, there are a lot of guys we don't know about that are up and comers. That
so Dimitroff's first hire is Mike Smith. So that means he might, but he was trying to kind of fit the
defense. That was different.
No, but I'm just, he's dealing with the post Bobby. I'm just trying to think what he might do. He went Mike Smith and Dan Quinn. I don't know. I'll tell you what, here's the combo. This actually makes sense because Eberflus is Josh McDaniels' boy. Thomas Dimitroff and Matt Eberflus, the current Colts defensive coordinator
guy and a Patriots guy. Just the two things you said can't happen.
No, but Dimitroff's far enough removed that it would be fine. And Eberflus is not a Patriots guy. He's a Cowboy. He's a Rod Marinelli guy.
Yeah, he's defensive though. That's what I said. What about this thing?
Okay,
I don't hate Eberflus. I think he's deserving certainly of an interview and all that. What about my guy, Joseph Brady, 30-year-old offensive coordinator, Carolina Panthers?
Too young.
Yes.
Can't do. I love Joe Brady. If you hire Joe Brady as a head coach, I think you're trying to step in it.
Here's what you do. You hire Mike Tomlin as a head coach, Joe Brady's offensive coordinator, and Sean McDermott's defensive coordinator.
Easy.
William Mary in the house, undefeated every year.
Now, here's a not so far off the wall idea.
I have one too. I hope it's not the same as yours.
I bet it's the same. What did this guy basically get fired in the middle of Matt Patricia being fired?
Don't say it.
Jimmy Harbaugh.
I think that's the best idea.
It is. It's so perfect.
Wait a second.
They fired him in the middle of the Michigan game to decrease the scrutiny on the thing. That means they're trying to do something that either A is super safe and conservative or B appeases the fan base. And nothing would appease the fan base like hiring Jim Harbaugh.
Wait a second. The Detroit fans are, by and large, I would imagine, Michigan fans. Michigan is 2-4.
Yeah,
they lost to an 0-5 team.
They should have lost her. Did they lose to Rutgers? If they didn't, they should have.
I don't know. But they
Michigan's terrible.
Terrible football team.
But Jim Harbaugh turned the 49ers around real fast. I don't hate the idea.
And then what happened? Name one good thing he did in Michigan.
Well, no, because then Jed York hated him. They butted heads.
And Tripp Balsley. Right.
Yeah, there's just – they didn't get along there, and that's what it boiled down to. But you're talking about Jim Harbaugh took over a 6-10 49ers team, then went to three straight NFC title games. I mean, that if Matt Patricia had done the same thing, he took over a 9-7 team, couldn't even win seven games in his first year with the Lions. Jim Harbaugh turned around the team and went to the NFC championship. And I think he's better suited for the NFL. I think he had this fantasy, I'm going to go back to my alma mater. I'm going to lead Michigan back to prominence. And he got there and was like, you know what? Maybe this college thing isn't going to work out, but I'm going to just stick this out until things blow up on my face. And that's what he did. I actually think that the Lions hiring him wouldn't be so crazy. And let's not forget, he's also can find his own quarterback because he had Alex Smith while he was there. But his first year in 2011, his first draft, drafted Colin Kaepernick and said, all right, we'll see if we can fit this guy in here, and then we'll just let the best man win. I think that's what he could do with Stafford.
And Alex Smith, he turned Alex Smith around. He gave him a quarterback makeover, and he was awesome. I think you could see him have real success with Matthew Stafford. I was listening to Stanford Steve and the Bear, ESPN podcast, they do college football, gambling or whatever, and they had Brian Windhorst on, and who's an NBA insider, and I was driving back to Raleigh while listening to it. But it was kind of interesting. Windhorst had a lot of like smart stuff to say because he's a big Ohio. He went to Kent State, big Ohio State fan too. And his point was that Jim Harbaugh has basically fallen apart at Michigan because he quit recruiting Ohio players. Because everyone before him has been able to get Ohio recruits to defect from Ohio to Michigan. And that's a huge win because you're taking away from your arch rival and you're boosting the talent you have. Harbaugh hasn't been able to do that. And as
he's
a result,
he's not a GM is what you're saying.
I'm saying he stinks at recruiting.
That's my point. He's not a general manager.
But Harbaugh, you hire Harbaugh and give him the Pete Carroll thing where he's allowed to pick his GM, which he didn't do at San Francisco. And so you say, listen, Jim, find a GM that works with you. And you let them go in there. And it'll probably only last 3 or 4 years because Harbaugh doesn't last anywhere more than 3 or 4 years before burning it down to the ground or everyone getting mad. And maybe, but I think he would have immediate success because that's what he does. He won 13 games his first year in San Francisco. He won immediately in San Jose State. He won immediately at Stanford. And he won immediately at Michigan. Michigan was knocking on the playoff door when he got there. So while it doesn't always work out well, there's a huge Q boost if you bring in Jim Harbaugh. And it's sort of too obvious.
Yeah, it doesn't blow my hair back. I get it. It's fine. Three years ago, I'd been much more excited about it.
Well, yeah.
But what about these names? Breaches guy, Arthur Smith.
I like Arthur Smith.
I mean, sure. I would imagine he'll start getting some looks. We don't know him as – that's the other thing that no one really brings up until it's too late. Like, being a head coach and offensive coordinator are two diametrically different jobs. Being a head coach, you're just micromanaging everything and making sure everything runs smoothly. You could argue that Bill O'Brien over-micromanaged things and had his fingers in everything and it blew up in his face. Adam Gase over-micromanages things. He's trying to call plays and all that. But if you're good at – maybe I should put it another way. If you're good at delegating and being the overseer as opposed to micromanaging, it's a better way to look at it. When you're an OC, you're just putting the game plan together and you're calling plays. And, well, that's not easy. It's completely different. Brian Daboll?
Yeah. Both those guys should be under consideration. I do wonder if the fact that Patricia flamed out as a coordinator might scare off – the Lions from hiring another coordinator.
Well,
maybe Greg Roman will be itching to get out of Baltimore. Like, I did all I could here.
I don't think Greg Roman's name is at the top of the list right now.
And what kind of offense is Greg Roman running with someone not named Colin Kaepernick or RG3 or Lamar Jackson?
Or Tyrod Taylor.
Then you go out and get your quarterback. You get dump Stafford and you find that quarterback.
But so, you just said he's got to be there at least a year.
Yeah, I don't think Greg Roman's the guy. I think you
could use Stafford as a bridge quarterback to make the finances work. That's what
I think the Lions, if you're Sheila Hamp, Sheila Hamp, no, she's not like just showing up like, all right, well, like what is a football? I mean, like she knows that this is a pretty big hire one way or the other. I think she will want to hire either an established name as a GM and trust in them to pick the coach name, or hire an established name as a coach like a Jim Harbaugh. That's the only reason I think that, and entrust in them to partner with a GM. That would be my guess. And I would bet the Thomas Dimitroff thing, Ryan, I think is slammed like spot on. I think that makes
sense.
All the sense in the world.
One of the names that I think the defensive coordinator, but just to keep an eye on, in part because I think his players love playing for him, is Robert Saleh.
Sure.
And you look at Joe Judge, special teams guy, it seems like the Giants are buying into what he's doing. We know about Matt Rhule, college guy. And there's some Matt Campbell's a name that keeps popping up. They have a state coach who was actually in tears after they beat Texas on Saturday because they – The Iowa State kids. We don't have five star recruit.
We have five star culture, not five star recruits.
And that's. I mean, that says a lot. And that's what you want, whether you're college, high school, NFL, whatever. So maybe those are some names to watch out for. Because at the end of the day, it ain't about X's and O's as a coach. You hire those guys, and you sort of you could be a genius as X's and O's, but it's about
Matt Rhule
to the players.
Matt Rhule just skunked the Lions. You may look at Matt Rhule and think, all right, Big 12. Smart head coach, builds culture. Matt Campbell makes a ton of sense. So,
does Breach want to say anything? Because he's got something important to do, apparently.
What? No, I agree with you guys. I think that is the crazy hire that you can't – you don't have to look inside the NFL infrastructure, which I think has been kind of built into these people's heads. But as we saw, Tepper, a new owner, said, I'm going to do it my way. And that's what I think. You know, I was saying Thursday that I would be surprised if Patricia got fired because or in the middle of the season, because this is her way of putting the stamp, her stamp on the organization. And I think she can do the same thing with a general managing hire or a coaching hire. Is you say, you know what? I see this list that you guys are all sending me. I'm going to go find my guys. If I have to go to the college ranks and find the next Rhule, if I have to do, you know, something like that, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to leave any stone uncovered during this coaching search.
I think if you go out and you get Matt Campbell.
And he may not want to leave, but go ahead.
Right. You might not get him. But if you go out and you get, if you're Sheila Hamp and you go out and get Matt Campbell, I think it gives you, whether or not it works out, it gives you a little bit of cachet in terms of your ability to go and secure a very popular hot name on the coaching circuit who's in college, Iowa State. So he's not like, you know, he's not Alabama's head coach. But to be able to do that, like, that's why it's like, if you get Harbaugh, it feels like a little sloppy seconds, you know? Like,
right.
Like you're like, all right, Harbaugh's fired. We'll get the big name. But you're like,
Matt Campbell will have time to grow into the job. He presumably he'll get along with his players better than Matt Patricia did. Matt Patricia was up against it after that first blowout loss that Breach just mentioned at the top of the show.
And you saying him getting along, somebody else tweeted out another thing. The NFL obviously said, hey, Matt Patricia is fired. Kenny Galladay liked that post on Instagram. Like, that's just hilarious.
Well, look, David Tepper went and got Matt Rhule. And it has given him a ton of credibility as an owner because Matt Rhule's had success in his first year, even if the team isn't necessarily good.
But he got a lot of blowback when it happened.
Absolutely.
And think about this. Think about the difference, the different way the media addressed the stories of David Tepper spending a ton of money on Matt Rhule and Jerry Jones rehiring, quote unquote, Mike McCarthy. Who's the better coach?
Matt Rhule. You take Matt Rhule 10 times out of 10 over Mike McCarthy right now.
And I think one of the reasons there was a few eyebrows raised, though, was because how much money he gave him. I mean, that was he made him like the fifth or sixth highest paid coach in the NFL, even though he
had proven – 7-year deal?
Right. And even though he has obviously proven he can coach
David,
in the NFL.
David Tepper has so much money, he can't burn through it fast enough. So a coach making $1 billion a year doesn't really affect me or you. Or
it also doesn't matter to the salary cap.
Right. It's just a huge number. And maybe the other coaches in the league care because it's competitive, but no one else, it doesn't matter.
Right. So if you're Sheila Hamp and you feel like you need to make a stamp, maybe Matt Campbell's a guy you go and be like, listen, I'm going to give you 6 years, $60 million. He ain't turning that down to come coach the Lions. If he's able to pick if he's able to find a GM that he pairs well with.
Right.
And go from there. He just won't turn it down. So it's not a terrible job. There are lots of candidates. I don't think we know exactly which direction they'll go because there's no GM and because we now have an owner with zero history whatsoever of what they're going to do. But I think it's either a big name or something conservative and easy like Jim Harbaugh, which
so one last thing before fun. We go. So a lot of times, or at least on some occasions, when Bill Belichick assistants lose their jobs, they come back to New England. Is Matt Patricia going to replace Steve Belichick as defensive coordinator? Should he return? Ooh,
that's a good one. That's tough.
No, the answer is no. Steve ain't giving up. I mean,
Steve's not technically the defensive coordinator.
Him and Jared Mayo, I think, are co-DCs or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Belichick won a lot of Super Bowls with Matt Patricia.
He won a lot with a lot of people not named Matt Patricia as well. Romeo Crennel, for example.
Sure. I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Patricia came back.
Three defensive coordinators.
Or what if Brian Flores hired him?
Brian Flores, by the way, is an example of a coach, Belichick coaching tree, who seems to relate well to his players.
Might be the only example.
I mean, 2 years in, let's see how this plays out, guys.
Well, all right, that's it.
That's the Matt, that's the Matt Patricia podcast. We went 40 minutes because we got no lives and no families. Oh, wait, we all have lives. We all have family. No, Ryan's in a hotel room. Thanks for listening.
Hey, by the way, if you've gotten this far, if you remember on Thanksgiving, I made fun of Brinson for changing the tire. I got a flat tire this morning. So there you go.
That is karma dunking in Wilson's face.
When we got that text from Wilson, it was like, I have a flat tire. This is
good times.
I'm glad that you survived and you're fine, Wilson.
Still thanks. Had a better day than Matt Patricia.
That's right. All right. That's the Matt Patricia Got Fired podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Sunday night to recap the entire week 12 of the NFL season. Subscribe, rate, and review. See you guys later.
Series on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.